Hey, welcome. I'm Chris Lopez, host of the Valley Pod, where we talk to all the interesting people of the San Luis Valley. Hanging out with us today in our studio on the south side of Alamosa is Frank Boogie Romero Jr., lifelong friend of mine. Grew up on State Avenue together, Boog.
Yes, sir.
Good to see you. How's your Thanksgiving?
Good, good.
Yeah?
Everything was good. After you eat turkey, you fall asleep. They got something in it.
Yeah.
So we didn't eat turkey, so we ate ham instead. It was nice.
Did you go to the Legion, American Legion? Boogie's big with the American Legion, Dickie Postspringer. You've been a member for how long?
I'm going on 35 years already.
Yeah, what was your time in service? Give us that real quick, the time that you spent in the military.
United States Army, 9 years, 3 months, 26 days.
Got it down to the days.
To the T, when I got back to Alamosa in my 65 Chevy.
Hey, one of the reasons we wanted to visit with you today is because of the work, really, your family started, your mom, Dorothy, your dad, Frank Boogie Sr. I mean, you know, these are individuals that were well-known throughout Alamosa, the community they did before they passed on in their own lives. But really the work your family's responsible and others that we're going to get into in reviving the old Spanish cemetery here in Alamosa, located on the Co-op Road, the old Spanish cemetery on the Co-op Road. Mm-hmm. And it is right now a piece of property, a cemetery that is under consideration for historical preservation. Going to get an application to historically preserve the old Spanish cemetery through a process History Colorado has going. You're involved in that too.
Yes, sir.
So we want to talk about the old Spanish cemetery, the Alamosa Spanish Cemetery. My day, we called it the Penitente Cemetery. I don't know if you remember that or recall that back in the 60s and 70s or how you used to reference it.
I did hear something to that effect, but I've always known it as the Alamosa Spanish Cemetery. And before my folks took over, the reason why the Medina family that lives in the Bawao, mm-hmm. you know where the Bawao,
yeah.
they were running it, and the brothers kind of got upset or got in a fight. So a lot of the stuff that they had, they burnt. It got caught in a fire. So what my folks got, and the board, of course, it just wasn't my folks, the board, they saved a lot of it, but a lot of the other stuff was burnt, and there was, what could they do? But the Medina family had started that, and all the writings or the notes and everything are all in Spanish, old school Spanish back in the day.
Right.
So I could read some of them,
Do you know how far back that cemetery dates to? I know you are aware of at least one World War I veteran grave that's there. Do you know how far back that cemetery goes in terms of people first being buried there on the Co-op Road?
You know, it says as you drive by Alamosa Spanish Cemetery, 1913. I don't, it must be correct because the people they had on their board, they searched it, researched it. So right now at this time, it's 112 years old.
Yeah.
Now, who knows? There could have been some bodies buried out there even before 1913, because I looked at the World War I veteran. I believe I wrote it down when he was born and when he died. Yeah, I did. But otherwise than that, I really don't.
So we're going to go back to 1912, 1913, when that cemetery first was established, first came into being, the Alamosa Spanish Cemetery, and what we want to talk about before we get more into the history.
Okay.
I want first you to tell us, you're really the caretaker of that cemetery. Whether it's the unofficial or the official caretaker, you have taken personal responsibility of taking care of that cemetery, making sure it's maintained. But in addition to that, you are responsible, among others that you work with, for finding and burying the John Does, the Jane Does, the people who don't have a family that die here in Alamosa in the San Luis Valley, and their bodies end up at either Rogers Mortuary or Romero Mortuary, and you work with both of those mortuaries to make sure everyone is buried and has a grave and has a remembrance at the Spanish cemetery. Tell us about that first, about how you got into burials, pauper graves, if you will. And recently, I think you said you had like 30 burials you did there. Tell us about that first.
As far as the maintenance and caretaker, naturally, I wasn't going to say I'm not going to help you. They would organize these groups, go out there and help clean and keep it. And then slowly but surely, the board members and people got older, of course. My folks passed. A lot of the board members passed. So I told my dad once, I said, no, I'm not going to help no more. And he tells me, like, hell you ain't. And I told him, like, hell I am, because I didn't want to take that responsibility. He goes, son, your grandma and grandpa are buried out here, and you got 13 veterans. If you don't do it, who's going to do it? So then I just got more involved and started cleaning up. I'd go out there by myself on my own, start cleaning and stuff. And as they got older and people would just quit going, we had some good help from the county as far as maintenance, cleanup, the city, cleanup organizations like the Mormons through Darryl Cooper, the Mormon congregation he brought. There was always people out there when they put in the courier, a volunteer, it was all volunteer. The Spanish Cemetery Board supplied everything, water, whatever they wanted, they would go get. And I was like a runner. Also, we're out of water, I'd run to get water. So I just started helping more and more. And now that it came down to it, I basically drive through there almost every day. And I can notice if there's something out of place, it's funny. I can notice it. I mean, I just look and say, what the hell is that black? What's that? Mm-hmm. I stop, big trash bag or just trash. So I pick it up and myself and whoever helps me to this day, I try to keep it the best that I can by myself. But the county has a lot to do with the, as far as the maintenance and the upkeep of it. They come in, they mow it, they pull weeds, they throw trash. Is what I mainly do is I make sure there's an American flag, a POW flag, and a Colorado flag at that cemetery 24/7, 365 days a year because of the veterans that are buried out there. Mm-hmm. People do call and ask to be buried. Well, we just can't just say okay. So they go, like you had mentioned earlier, through the funeral homes, and I say okay, fine. So then I go out there with them, and wherever they want, I got a map. Katie's got rather, you can see it. I got a map, and I know where all the roads are and where they're supposed to be and where I can and cannot bury them. The paupers' graves, like you said, there's a lot of them out there, and homeless, even here in Alamosa, a couple they found, you know, under the bridge, no names, of course. The Rogers asked them. I can't say no because everybody, the way I feel, regardless if you're a veteran or just a person, you're going to get a restful peace to be buried at the cemetery. We're not biased. Race is no factor. We will bury anybody out there, anybody. The Lord doesn't believe in race, so we'll bury anybody, whether you got a dollar or $100,000. We will bury you out there, and you will get ordained by an ordained minister. You're not going to get put in the ground, as far as I'm there, without a prayer like they do at memorials or funerals.
And recently you said you and others buried like 30 different bodies or ashes that had been bodies that had been cremated. Tell us about how do you get to that number of individuals that that you're taking care of? That you're making sure those ashes find a burial or those bodies. I mean, to me, that sounds like extraordinary commitment on your part. But explain how you get into these situations where you are responsible burying individuals that are unknown or individuals that don't have a means to get buried.
Well, they go through, like mentioned earlier, they go through Romero's or Rogers. They just can't go out there either and say, well, we'll dig. We better get a hold of Boogie first. So they called me, and I asked them why. Why did he have so many? And they just had them. So they weren't in the ground yet. They'd just been sitting in them urns. So he asked me, and I said, sure. And just let me know. So we went out there. I went out there first and marked the area. Then he brought his tractor and a fence hole digger, 12 inch, so that the holes, the urns, we set them down, five, 30 of them, mm-hmm. six rows, and we did that. And he said thank you. And a lot of the people, he didn't even know who they were, because there's some that we just didn't know. But what was amazing, where the Poppers is, I'll show you where that's at. Remember the Westerns where they used to, the silver old caskets?
Yeah.
You know, the like they go like, they were just real small. Well, a lot of them, we would stay out there, my dad and I, and we'd help them lower the casket. And we lowered it like the old school Westerns with rope. We put the casket on the rope, and there'd be six, seven of us just lower it real slow into the full casket grave. I thought that's what they did in the Westerns. Remember to show you with the rope? We'd pull the rope out. They'd say a prayer. They were already covered, so we'd say a prayer, and everybody would, whoever, there's no family, but the county, myself, the mortuary, whoever it was, would stay. They'd bury it. They'd start covering it. They always had to have a mound. If you notice, the Poppers got mounds, so you know there's people out there, so you don't go start digging. Most of them, you know, we're flat when we go out there, you'll see, but that's what they do. They call me. We've never had no problems burying somebody, but we've had a couple of problems looking for somebody, because, shoot, 1913, and expect us to know where their mom or their dad is, and we tried the best we could. One lady kind of got real sassy with my dad. I was about 2 inches, but I maintained my, and he explained to her, and she just wasn't too happy because we couldn't find it. Well, come on.
Right.
I mean, there's some graves out there that are unmarked, and I'm sure there's some people out there.
With the Poppers graves that you recently have been burying, you also erected or want to erect a fence around that area of the cemetery so that there's a designation or markings to understand and know that these are Popper graves that don't necessarily have an identification, or you don't necessarily know who that person is that was buried there, and you want to make sure that that cemetery has that type of markings, yeah?
Yes, sir. That, the way you quoted it, that's a very good idea. The fence would, nothing extraordinary. I mean, you don't want a $3 million fence. You just want something up so they're protected. And then when we're done, you could, you know, the Poppers, which means a lot of people, if they know, no family, no money, no love, so that they're recognized also, besides just throwing in a corner out there. A lot of them now got, some of them got wooden crosses, you know, no name, just wooden cross, rest in peace. But if you look at the cemetery, when we go out there, a lot of them graves, even besides the Poppers, you ain't going to believe this, 1902, they made their own crosses. Some of them are wood, still standing, mm-hmm. concrete. Some of them are welded together. It's amazing. It's that the crosses are in the concrete now. 100 years, and that concrete is still holding where that person was put to rest. And they're all resting in peace, you know, thank the Lord. So we'll try to do the best we can so that the only one that's going to recognize them for life will be the man upstairs. You know, they're gone. They're past, no family. Some have called and asked, but if you don't know them, or if we don't have the paperwork, I can't go show them where they're.
Right.
They might not even be at the Spanish cemetery. I've been in a lot of cemeteries because through the military. I mean, the memorials, Crestone, Los Cerritos, Los Sauces, El Rito, Crestone. Creed.
And you have veterans in all those cemeteries around the valley. You have Popper graves probably in many of those cemeteries. But the work you're doing here in Alamosa with the Alamosa Spanish Cemetery, and again, I just can't get over the number of unknown individuals, no, Popper graves that you recently were responsible for making sure they had a place to be. 30 or so graves in that period just this year alone.
Yeah, it's just about, what are we in, December? I said about a month ago, and the good thing about it, Rogers and Romero's, they know better. Don't call me today and expect to get it done tomorrow, because that ain't going to happen. They give me a little leeway, and I said, sure, let me go. I went and looked, and I called Rogers. He called me out there. I said, I'll meet you out there. I usually, I have to stay. Me and my dad would always stay. But now I stay to make sure it's done properly, because if it ain't, They're going to do it right. So, yeah, it was, I couldn't believe it either. I said, how many? God damn, that's a lot.
And why do you take that responsibility as an individual, as someone who's born and raised in Alamosa, who grew up here, who went away, who came back, who learned from your mom and dad how to take care of that cemetery? Why do you keep that up today?
Well, I figured when I did come back, I took it easy for about 6 months. Just getting out of combat, I had to just leave again, but I went up on my own just to reflect on what I just went through, what my folks were doing. I said, well, they'll need help. I was still young then. So I just started helping them and volunteer. I volunteered a lot for everything, the cemetery, the senior citizens, I'm a member of the American Legion, life member of VFW, life member of the DAV. So I just started helping them, and I figured, well, they're going to get old. And if I don't do it, I'm sure somebody else would have picked up. But all the board members had passed. It was just me and Charlie. So I figured, well, I better stick with it, because if not, like you said, it was a mess at one time. Remember the adobe fence that was around it? It would have stayed up, but it was starting to deteriorate. And the board decided they didn't want to do that. They didn't want to spend the funds. Well, they didn't have that many funds to fix it. So they put up a chain link fence, and the people that donated that, wow, they're great. So we're going to think maybe we can put the adobe fence back up 3 feet from the wire fence, which will make it more historical. But the reason I do it is because the way I feel, it was rough. I seen just thousands of Iraqis getting pushed with bulldozers into a pit as wide as a bulldozer deep, and they're just rolling them in and covering them with sand. I said, God, you know, that stuff stays with your mind, and mm-hmm. a lot of these people here. So I took that responsibility, and as far as I'm able to, if it's another year or 10 more years, I'll continue to do it. And just hopefully when I'm done, somebody else will pick up and carry on what the first board did, the second board, and myself. And I'm sure they will. If not, is what we're hoping is the county and city would kind of combine together and work together on it, as far as we don't want water out there. We don't need grass. Maybe some trees would be nice, because they were born them in 1914. If you were born, you didn't have grass. You mm-hmm. had chicos. You mm-hmm. had dirt. Mm-hmm. Well, it's 2025. Just leave it to be. Just keep it clean. Trash picked up. People do go out there still and put flowers on the people that are out there. There's a lot of Alamosa families out there.
Yeah, I've been since I came back. I've been back since 2016. I went out there because, again, I have the memories of that cemetery growing up here in Alamosa. And you always wondered, because it's not the Alamosa cemetery that you have off State Avenue. This is on the Co-op Road. And as a kid growing up here, and you would go out there to mess around, you'd go out there to tell ghost stories, and you'd talk about La Llorona, you'd tell stories like that in the dark. And those are things we did as a kid. In that cemetery, though, probably didn't then get the respect that it should have gotten by me and others in that generation. I come back 30-some years later, and I'm driving down the Co-op Road, and I notice the cemetery, and I'm like, wow, that's really different. It's a lot cleaner. It's cleaned up. You can actually go in it. It's taken care of. And I started to wonder, who did that? And then I learned that my buddy, Boogie Romero, his family, Boogie Sr., his mom, Dorothy. You're going to tell us more about the history of the Spanish Cemetery when we come back. This is the Valley Pod. We'll be right back.
Do you have an idea that could make life in Bonavista even better? Maybe it's new chemistry equipment that will inspire high school students, or medical kits that will help police officers respond to emergencies, or maybe it's transforming a former church into a new community art space. Every day, Bonavista locals are making their community better with a little support from the Lore Foundation. To share an idea and learn how Lore can help, contact Yvette Atencio at ivette@lorefoundation.org.
Hey, we're back. This is the Valley Pod. We're talking to Boogie Romero Jr. It's been 2 years since your father passed away, Boogie Sr., and what a institution, what a character of Alamosa he was. What's your reflections on your dad?
Yeah, it's going on 3 years, you're right. My mom's going on 7 years. My dad's going on 3. And if everybody knew us like you did, my dad and I were very close as far as son and father.
Not too many sons, excuse me, can call their dad boy in front of thousands of people. Come here, boy. And he would say, boy, who are you calling boy? And we got along so good. He taught me things that I needed to know out at the Spanish cemetery, this and that. And my mom, too, she was the brain as far as, let's do this, secretary, trader, handled all that. But my dad would say, look, you got to do this. And so we got along well together, and I figured I'd continue doing it.
Yeah, you're doing a lot of, we're seeing you carry forward a lot of the volunteer community service work that your dad and your mother did during their lifetime. How did they get involved initially with the Spanish cemetery, the Alamosa Spanish Cemetery, the old board, the board that ran that, and they were part of that? How did that occur? What's your recollection about that?
Well, what I can remember is when I remember mom saying when my dad retired from Adams State, she goes, you ain't gonna be lay here on the couch to be a couch potato. So they just started getting involved with other things, also volunteering the senior citizens, the food banks, the veterans organizations, the Spanish cemetery. Somebody had approached one of the board members, I think it was Roger Vigil, and asked them if they would take over the Spanish cemetery as a whole because of the Medina family that lost it in a fire. So they agreed, and then they made the choices. Well, everybody from Alamosa except for Madeline Fernandez, she lives in Sanford. But she drove down every day to get involved with this board. So they just started working together, and it continued on till the memorial's out there. 2002, J.J. Martinez, he put up two big rocks out there, yeah. Memorials for him. You'll see them. And then other people wanted to get involved, like David Swazzle, but he didn't want his name on this. I didn't want my name on this. Well, of course, they already had made it. So, and JJ asked. I said, no. The regular board members, all of them are passed except for Charlie Greco. So they just got all involved together. They had good meetings at my folks' house or at Roger and Tilly Vigil on 9th Street. Yeah. And it's funny. My folks' address, 1014 State. Roger's address, 1014 Ninth.
So they formed an early board for the cemetery itself to make sure that it was being maintained or that people were being buried there and proper gravestones were there and things like that. Your family, your mom and dad and others you were talking about formed a board to make sure that cemetery stayed in place.
Exactly. And then another reason, of course, my mom's parents, her mom and dad are buried out there. My grandpa and grandma, there's a lot of relatives, Alamosa relatives that are buried there. Charlie Greco's sister's buried out there.
Would people get buried there versus at the Alamosa Cemetery on State?
Well, like I said, the older ones, they wouldn't, if I'm correct, they wouldn't let them bury them at the Alamosa the regular Alamosa Cemetery because of the, maybe still today, they were prejudiced. They just didn't want them buried there. They assumed that the Alamosa was just for the Anglos, and the Alamosa Spanish Cemetery is for Hispanics and whoever else. That's one reason. And then I don't know how they got the land. I guess I could do more research, but I haven't. So that's why they got buried there. But even to this day, like I told you earlier, the last burial was July 6, 2024. Hispanic female, no name. That was our last actual, and I kind of asked too, and they said because they just didn't have the funds to bury her at the Alamosa. I said, they Romero's called me. I said, how much you guys charge? $100. She wanted to be $100. The family thought they had a good insurance. Well, they didn't know what to do. They were in a turmoil. So they called me, and I said, sure, bring, just let me know. And of course, they regular funeral, like a regular funeral at any cemetery. They brought her in the cars. They had people out there. The father was out there. Did what they did at anywhere, any other cemetery. So a lot of them.
So the old Spanish cemetery, the Alamosa Spanish Cemetery, it's called now, is really a remnant going back to the 1900, 1912, 1913. It's really a reflection of that period of time in Alamosa, where you did see a segregation, if you will, of Hispanos, of many people who lived on the south side of Alamosa that were Hispanos, and the Anglos of the town, and how that cemetery really created a marker where if you were Hispanic, if you were Hispano from the valley, you typically got buried then in the Spanish cemetery versus others who were buried in the Alamosa cemetery. We know that through some of the records that your family kept, that your mother, your dad, the board kept. Those records now have been turned over to the Sangre de Cristo National Heritage Area in its effort and preparation of an application to put that cemetery up for consideration of historical preservation purposes, right? You're working with the Sangre de Cristo National Heritage Area and Julie Chacon. Katie Doxson's a researcher who's helping you with that, right? And you're really digging and have been digging into those records. Tell us about some of the people you know or have seen based on the records that your family kept that are buried there.
Well, my
I mean, your mom kept a list of people, and now you can say, okay, this person is here, probably this person is here. You have those types of documentation.
Yes, we do. And like you mentioned, Katie and Julie, I'm glad this came up. Katie asked me, and I said, well, sure, because it needs to be upkept, and whatever we can do to it to make sure that people that are there will always rest in peace, whether it's like Arlington National Cemetery or the way it is now. But they will rest in peace there. So I got relatives out there, my grandma and grandpa, the Vigil Suazo family. My mom was a Suazo, Gonzalez Suazo, so she's got family out there. The Mondragons, we went to school with the Mondragons, Robert and Rolando. Their parents, his grandpa, and everybody are out there in a family, so I know them. Abatong, my mm-hmm. third cousin, I know them. There's a lot of families out there that we know, that my folks knew. Of course, everybody knew my dad and mom for 80 years, but I started looking at them too. Just the Mondragons, Leland Romero's mom's buried out there, Leland mm-hmm. and Joey. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of families that I knew and that my folks do, and my grandpa and grandma, when they bought their plot, they didn't just buy for two, they bought for the whole Gonzalez family. So if I want to get buried out there, guess what? I don't have to pay nothing. It's mm-hmm. already, they paid whatever. Randy Chacon, you know, the mm-hmm. Chacon's,
yeah.
Carl,
yeah.
His brother lives in Phoenix. And the first thing he said, I want to get cremated and brought to the Alamo Spanish Cemetery and be buried with my grandpa and grandma. So there's a lot of, you can do what you want, either there, Alamosa Cemetery. I told them, being that I like to hunt and fish, I was on the Conejo so much, throw me in the river. Throw me in the river, let me go down the river, and that's my burial.
What are your thoughts or hopes as the Sangre de Cristo National Heritage Area pushes for historical preservation of the Alamosa Spanish Cemetery? Is that something you want to see? Do you see that's something that can benefit your own efforts, working as really the caretaker, if you will, of that cemetery? What are your thoughts about that idea of a historical preservation designation? Does it deserve it in that Alamosa Spanish? What are your thoughts about that whole process?
Oh, yeah, let's see. Yes, sir, it does deserve to be recognized higher than what it is right now. And as far as the girls, Katie, Julie, Arlen Van Rye was a big part of this. When they approached me and they said, well, we can get you help through some grants to keep it clean, keep it upkeep, fence, all the weeds and stuff, that would be great. 1913, they might even think of putting back the adobe fence completely around it and leave the chain link fence, so it's secure either way. But I told them already, it will never be locked. If I have to lock it, then there's something wrong with people. But I will never lock that cemetery, never. And we preserve it for the purpose, keep it preserved for the veterans. That's why we're here. World War One veteran. That's why we're here now doing this interview. World War Two, Korea, Vietnam. They started serving. They served the country. They're at peace. We have a nice Memorial Day. I don't know if you've been out there. We give them the same respect that we give the Alamosa Cemetery.
At what point did Dickie Springer, the American Legion, start hosting memorial services at the Spanish cemetery in addition to the Alamos to recognize those veterans buried there? And I'm going to assume you always knew that there were veterans buried at that cemetery.
Yes, I did. I believe my dad, Roger Vigil, veteran, Charlie, they had mentioned something. You know, I don't know exactly when they started, but they assumed, why should Alamosa veterans get Memorial Day honors? They're not the veterans at the Spanish cemetery. So they brought that up, and I'm sure, let's see, shoot, I've been doing it. About 30 years I've been doing it. So before somebody started it before, so it could have either been my dad or one of the past commanders, Jack Rutter or Malatone Archuleta, Bob King, them guys were all commanders, and they might have brought that up too. And the cemetery Alamosa, we get a good following for Memorial Day. It's one of the saddest for as far as veteran and their family. But then we do the Alamosa, then we go to the VFW plot. You've seen us when we go, because there's veterans there, both Legion and VFW. And then our last one is the Spanish cemetery. We do the same thing, 21 gun salute, roses, flowers, talk a little bit, and then it's over, and then we go, the people that have helped and stuff, we have an appreciation dinner at the Legion. But as long as I'm around, like I said, that will continue. Whenever I decide to go visit my folks, I hope somebody will pick up where I left off, and hopefully by then the city and county will be together. All they got to do is get a hold of the Legion. Well, most of the members know it's going to happen every Memorial Day, whether they like it or not, or whether you like it or not, it's going to happen.
What's interesting about the Spanish cemetery and looking at the historical record of that is who owns it. And we were talking about that. It's not owned by the city. It's not like the Alamosa Cemetery that the municipality of Alamosa manages, takes care of. The Spanish cemetery is on the co-op road, not in the city limits, in the county, but the county is not the ownership of the land, is what I'm trying to understand. And what you're telling me is the ownership of that land really falls with you, anyone that's working with you. That's my understanding.
You know, I wish I could, truthfully, I don't know who owns it, because when you own land, don't you get a sales tax to pay taxes? Well, shoot, I've never received one, and everybody knew my mom and dad worked out there, and Dorothy, Secretary Treasurer, she didn't miss, she was to the T, and the city's never said nothing. I don't know, maybe Mr. Leroy Martinez owned it and he donated. Yeah. I wish I could find that out too, but as far as I'm concerned right now, being that I do caretake of it with other help from all the other organizations, that it's our land, ours together, so that when somebody does pass, they'll have a restful place to rest and clean and neat, instead of just thrown somewhere.
How many graves, because your mom, and tell us a little bit about the records that you've turned over to the Sangre Cristo National Heritage Area that Katie Doxson is organizing and going through. How many gravestones, burials are out there that you know of, or give us some of that data or history of the records your mom kept?
Okay, well, I know for a fact, for sure, the 30 we just buried, I get all the paperwork. I have to. It comes from the state. It's all legal. It's all legal. There's nothing. I got all the paperwork, so I put them in so Katie could look at them. That was the newest one, was that female.
So now you have a registry going of people buried there.
Yes, they've always had that. For instance, my grandma, Fidelia Gonzalez, born 1890, passed 1956. My grandpa, born 1889, passed 1946. Got records of them when they passed. Of course, my mom was going to have them. A lot of families out there, like I said, the Modrigan family, that Robert Orlando that we went to school with. Alex Modrigan, born 1894, passed 1980. World War, that's the one, private United States Army, World War One. Now, they got records of all these. There's a lot of families, the O'Leary family, the Suazo family, the De Herrera family. They're all out there buried, and we know them. I know if when we go out there, you might get a flashback and say, well, I remember these people, even though they were buried way back then. There's just a lot of them. The Espinosa family, the Cordova family. You know Bill, shucks, what's his name? Bill, he kind of limps. I know you know him. I can't remember his last name. Plays Polk, Texas Hold'em at the out. His whole family is buried out there. But they got theirs like I want. Fenced. You'll see it, and it's neat.
That's what I love about this conversation and love about visiting with you, Boogie, is you have these references to individuals and people that you know about, that you've been around long enough, your family's been around generations here in Alamos in the San Luis Valley, and you're able to recollect individuals that way. And just listening to you read off names of families that are there just starts to, I think, peel back those layers of history of Alamosa and the San Luis Valley and how it came to be in the beginning and how people lived here and now where they're buried. I just find that history that's in your head and that you're involved in, I just find that history just brilliant and fascinating. I love to hear the stories, and I love to hear the names that you recite as you talk about the Spanish cemetery here in Alamosa. Where do you want to see this go forward? As you think about your work as the caretaker of that cemetery, your work of making sure that everyone has a burial, whether they have means or not, what do you hope? What do you imagine as you keep working this moving forward?
I hope I can continue to maintain the ground as long as my health is healthy, my life is healthy, and I'll continue to do it. I'm 60, going to be 68, so I can still do it. Not as much as I used to, of course, but I still go out there and I pull weeds, I chop, I pick up trash. So hopefully when I'm done, somebody else will see, well, shit, Boogie done it. He's gone. Let's keep it clean, neat. The Historical Society, you're younger than me. If you can go out there and say, well, shoot, I interviewed him. Look at that trash. You pull out there, pick it up, put in your truck, and bring it home. So I hope it just continues to get better and better. And I'm doing as much as I can, as that I can, you know, to make it look the best. Sure, it needs work, but with all the help that we got back in the day from the Mormon congregation, the Boy Scouts, Upward Bound, Dennis Lopez brought them out, Adams State University. They all liked my dad. Well, he asked them, and guess what? They sent the whole football team, cross-country team. They sent whoever they wanted. And you know what? They went out there, and we didn't tell them, hey, you need to do this. They were on their own. If you wanted to work 10 minutes, guess what? You work 10 minutes. If you wanted to work an hour or two, you would. We had good days out there. So that, I hope that continues. I think maybe, depending on the weather, we would like to have a quick cleanup sometime in December. I'm gonna have to look at the dates. And if 10 people go, fine. If 2 people go, fine. If 1 person goes, fine. Walk around outside trash around the whole cemetery. Inside trash up against the fence. And then I told him, my dad told me once, son, don't you touch the tombstones. Leave them tombstones there. If they're broke, just leave them there. But the flowers get wilted, and you can tell, I can tell now that that needs to be picked up. But a lot of them flowers have been out there 30-40. Of course they're plastic, but they're still there, and they're marking somebody that's been put to rest in that area.
Yeah, that's really, appreciate all the information, knowledge you've shared with us this morning talking about the Alamosa Spanish Cemetery. I want to thank you for the service you commit and give to that cemetery and to all the people there and to the pauper graves. I find that just remarkable community service on your part to make sure that people who pass away here in Alamosa, if they didn't have family, if they didn't have the means for a burial, you're making sure they have a burial at the Alamosa Spanish Cemetery. I can't put a price on that type of community service that we see from you, others that are involved in the efforts to make sure the Alamosa Spanish Cemetery is known, maintained, and upkept. That's just really great community service on your part, and really appreciate all that work.
Well, thank you. And it's great that I do have help. What you're doing here, so the gig gets put out, there is a gift of giving from San, and we don't go out and ask or anything. We get our funds by donations is what it is, but the San Luis Valley Federal has a gift of giving. If you would like to give to the Alamosa Spanish Cemetery, you go in there and you sign, and the bank knows what to do, and we used to do pretty good, and then it slowed down. But once again, that's appreciated. All my work is volunteer. I won't take one penny or a dollar, and if I do, and if somebody out there, a family or a veteran, don't have no money to do anything, here you go. I don't want no money. I never have, and I never will. But remember, it's open to everybody. Just because it says Alamosa Spanish Cemetery, you do not have to be Hispanic, Anglo, African-American, Oriental. We are not biased. We're not prejudiced. You can be buried out there, anybody, anytime, and you will be taken care of, and you will be put to rest.
Yeah, that's really great service that we're seeing from Frank Boogie Romero Jr., keeping up all the work that your mom and your dad started. That's quite the legacy for yourself. Hey, as we wrap up this episode of the Valley Pod, we want to remind you to make AlamosaCitizen.com your daily homepage for news and information in the greater San Luis Valley. We also invite you to join the digital news movement and become a member of Alamosa Citizen. Your support makes our work possible. Hey, we thank you for listening to this episode of the Valley Pod. We've been visiting with Frank Boogie Romero Jr., caretaker of the Alamosa Spanish Cemetery. Learned a lot. We appreciate you. Valley Pod is produced by Owen Woods. It's part of the AlamosaCitizen.com podcast lineup. See you around the Valley.
Alamosa Citizen continues to bring you the most comprehensive calendar of events that stretch from Creed to Fort Garland. We never want you to have to say, there's nothing to do. The end of this week has events sprinkled throughout, starting on Thursday with the San Juan Nordic Club Backcountry Film Festival in Del Norte. Go out and celebrate the human-powered winter experience. The winter magic continues on Friday and Saturday with the Academy of Performing Arts presenting their rendition of Frozen at the Bill Metz Auditorium. If you missed the markets last weekend, fret not. If you're craving even more market goodness, you're in luck. The Fort Garland Artisans Winter Market and the Creed Holiday Market is this Saturday. Meet Joni Franks, author of the award-winning Corky Tales series and the Crooked Tree Forest series at the Narrow Gauge Book Co-op signing Saturday. Seriously, there is no way you can say that there is nothing to do. Get out there, partake in community, and spread some holiday cheer. Find more event details on alamosacitizen.com. If you have an event coming up, submit it to the Valley Calendar. All you have to do is head to the Valley Calendar page on alamosacitizen.com. Click online form and give us the deets. That's all for now. Have an eventful week. This has been Hannah Eubanks, and you're listening to the Valley Pod.